sbcr.org. There is a button that says I'm new, and there is a short form there that you can fill out, and we can get to know you a little bit better there as well. This week, we celebrate our nation's independence. Amen. It's a wonderful thing to be able to be in a country like ours and enjoy freedoms, much like we enjoy on every Sunday morning. Amen. And we can gather and worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we think about our independence here, we think about our freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here, to celebrate that today. So thank you for choosing to worship with us. I do want to make you aware of a few things that are happening in the life of our church. I want to encourage you at some point, if you want, you can go down to our fellowship hall. The remodel is continuing. We had a group from Indiana here last week, a mission group. They stayed here at the church. They did a lot of wonderful work for us in that fellowship hall, and we're well on our way to meeting our goal of having it ready at the beginning of school in August. So just want to say thank you for those. That some of you brought goodies up here for the group. They also had an opportunity to help at Flat Rock Baptist Church with their Vacation Bible School. Did a wonderful job there. They had a great week. I think we saw a couple of salvations as a result. So praise God for His work, not only through our partner church in Indiana, but also through us. So thank you for praying for that endeavor. Also continue to pray for our Ghana mission team. I did receive word from Pastor Chris this morning. They have already had a great day of worship with one of the churches there. They plan to go prayer driving this evening. So continue to pray for them. They will be coming back. They'll be back here in the States later this week. So if you've signed up for praying for them, please continue to do that. They're seeing salvations. They're planting churches. They're encouraging our sister church, Russellville Second Baptist Church East, there in Ghana. They've already been there and had an opportunity to worship with them. So a lot of great things that God's doing in and through that group as they are there in Ghana. Also, speaking of mission trips, you see there in your bulletin a couple of their opportunities this summer to be on mission. Next week, the 10th through the 14th, you see Pastor Chris is planning to lead a team to Memphis. If you're interested in being a part of that, I know Pastor Chris is not here this week, but you can come see me and I can give you some information about that trip. There's also a sign up there in the foyer area on a table. So if you're interested in doing that, please sign up there. And there's also our local association, Arkansas River Valley Baptist Association, is taking a trip to the Delta here in our state, the 16th through the 22nd. There's information on that same table and a sign up. And if you have more questions about that trip, you can see me, and I'd love to tell you more about that. I plan to go myself. There's a couple already that have told me that they're interested in going. So let me know. We do need to sign up fairly soon so they can know where people are going to be serving during that week. They're going to be doing Vacation Bible School in the morning. They're going to be doing construction. They're going to be doing block parties in the evening. So lots of different opportunities to serve and be a part of what God's going to be doing that week in the Delta. One thing that I didn't mention early on, we are not having evening services tonight, but I do want to make you aware of something that did make it into our bulletin today. We are going to have a special called business meeting next Sunday evening at 5 o'clock on the 9th at 5. And this is to discuss a motion that will come from our remodel committee about the renovation that's going on. So I know you want to be a part of that next Sunday at 5 o'clock. And then I think that is all I've got this morning. That's a lot, isn't it? It's summertime, a lot of activity that happens in the life of our church. So continue to pray as God continues to move this summer. I want to ask you to now turn your attention to God, because that's why we're here, right? To worship Him and to thank Him for all that He's done for us, especially, again, as we think about our independence as a nation, we think about our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus because of what He did for us by going to the cross, dying for our sins, and then 3 days later, He's alive again. Amen. And we serve a risen Savior. So I'm going to ask you, if you will, bow your heads and close your eyes And maybe this morning, you would just simply say, God, thank you for the freedom that I have in your Son Jesus. Freedom from sin and freedom to truly live as you intend for us to live. God in heaven, you are a good God, a great God. And we give you the thanks this morning for all your many blessings. But we especially want to thank you for the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. That is why we are here today. He has changed us because of what he did on the cross, where he died for our sins and then he rose again, triumphant over death, triumphant over sin. And so we say thank you. I pray, Father, that as we continue with this service, that our hearts would be turned towards you, Father, that we would be able to focus on just how good you are, and may our lips bring forth praise. And then later on, Father, as we have an opportunity to examine your word, I pray that our hearts would be ready to receive from you today so that we might be able to leave here changed people. How we love you, and we give you all the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand with us as we sing, How Great Is Our God?
The splendor of the King. how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name.
Sing that again with us. Of all this morning.
When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within. shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the
Jesus, you're Amen. What a great confession this morning. As we think about what we need most in our lives. And that is God. When we think about what we need most in our nation, the answer is God. When we think about what we need most in our world, the answer is God. It's always been God, and it always will be. And that's what I want to talk about this morning as you turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm chapter 46. I want to talk about God, our refuge, our resource, and our repose. God, our refuge, our resource, and our repose. You know, this time of year, as I stated earlier during our time of announcements, we do celebrate our independence, don't we? We celebrate the wonderful freedoms that so many lives have afforded to us in the various wars and battles across this nation's history. And for those, we do salute them and we thank them for their sacrifice. And when we think about our country and we think about even as we look around this sanctuary this morning and we see our nation's flag and we see even the one that is behind me today, we think about our pledge, do we not, of allegiance to the United States flag. And I wonder if you ever have thought, I know sometimes we do this pledge and it just... Since we have memorized it, those words fall from our mouths as if they have no meaning, but they do have meaning, don't they? And I especially want to draw your attention to one phrase that's in that pledge. We go through that pledge and it says, "One nation under God." And I'm not here this morning to dispute whether or not our nation has disregarded God in any form or fashion, although one could make the argument that we have. That doesn't mean that God is still not at work in our nation. But as you think about that phrase, one nation under God, and you think about under God, what is that implying? What is that really saying? And it's a plea, honestly, that we would be protected and preserved by the Almighty God. And with that today, that's why I think about this Psalm 46, because there we see our protector and the one who preserves us. And even when we are straying from Him, when we are wandering from Him, He still longs to be our protector, our provider, and our preserver. And I think as we look at this psalm this morning, we will see this. This is a plea to run to God and to receive from Him and to rest in Him this morning. If you will, if you found your place, let's look at this wonderful chapter in the book of Psalms. Psalm 46, would you please stand as we read the Word of God? I'll be reading from the Christian Standard Bible this morning, and you can follow along in your copy. God is our refuge and strength, a helper who is always found in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not be afraid, though the earth trembles and the mountains topple into the depths of the sea, though its waters roar and foams and the mountains quake with its turmoil. There is a river, its streams delight the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. God is within her. She will not be toppled. God will help her when the morning dawns. Nations rage, kingdoms topple. The earth melts when He lifts His voice. The Lord of armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, see the works of the Lord, who brings devastation on the earth. He makes wars cease throughout the earth. He shatters bows and cuts spears to pieces. He sets wagons ablaze. Stop your fighting and know that I am God. Some translations say, be still and know that I am God. Exalted among the nations, exalted on the earth. The Lord of armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Father in heaven, we are grateful this morning for your hand of protection in our lives. We are grateful this morning for how all the many ways that you have provided for us. And Father, we are most certainly thankful for how you preserve our lives. Today, as we examine your word, may our hearts be awakened once again to your goodness and your greatness. And may also our hearts be turned more towards you in this moment so that we might give our allegiance to you and the world around us will know that we are yours. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. God, our refuge, our resource, and our repose. I like that word repose because it does remind us that we can rest in Him. So real quick, I'm going to get right into the sermon this morning because you know how long I go sometimes. Amen? I'm going to do my best this morning to stay within our time constraints, but I'm not going to make any promises. But the main idea that you see here is that God wants to be our refuge, our resource, and our repose. God Almighty, the Creator of the universe, wants to be involved in your lives. And He specifically in this psalm wants to be involved in your life in these three specific ways. He wants to be a refuge. He wants to be someone that you can run to, that you can find strength in, that you can find protection to be your shelter when this life is in turmoil. And let me tell you, most of you in here could tell me stories, actually, of how God has protected you, how God has given you strength in times of trouble. It doesn't take a while for us to live on this earth to understand that it is filled with troubles. It is filled with trials. It is filled with tribulations. And right in the midst of that, God resides and He wants to be your refuge. Also, as you look at this psalm, God wants to be the person who is your resource. He doesn't want you to go to any place else but Him. But for some odd reason in our lives, we think that we can be our own resource, or we go to something else for that resource or this resource, but it's only God who is the great provider. It is only God who can give us all that we need and even what our heart's desires might be. He wants to be that resource, and He wants to be your repose this morning. He wants you, I mean, it just follows that if He is your protector and that He is your provider, then you can rest in Him because nothing else matters, because He is taking care of everything else in your life, and so you can just rest. That doesn't mean that you are inactive. It just means that you don't have anything to worry about in this life, and therefore, there is this incredible peace that passes all understanding because even in the midst of the storm, He is our rock. Even in the midst of the storm, He wants to come and speak words of comfort and strength to your life. And that's exactly what He does. This morning, I hope, my prayer is, that this psalm and the words that you see here in this psalm would be a great reminder to you of how good God is and how He wants to be these things in your life. But that brings us to the key question this morning. And we must ask ourselves this: if God wants to be all these things, then the question is, are you resisting His aid in your life? I think we must ask ourselves, even just a minute ago, I talked about how we go to other places, we go to other things that we think will fulfill us, that we think will provide what we need, and yet it never does. In fact, the history will tell us, if you look back on your lives, it will tell you that it only leaves you more bankrupt than you were before. So if that is true, and we are not experiencing God in these ways as our refuge, resource, and repose, then we must be resisting Him in some way or another. You know, one thing we need to examine in our lives is if we have sin, right? Because sin breaks fellowship with God. And if that is true, He cannot be all that He wants to be in your life. He cannot be the refuge that He wants to be. He cannot be your resource, and He cannot be your repose. Because here's the reality of it. If sin is there, that means that we are going after something other than God. And unfortunately, it is a slippery slope. And we begin our tireless strivings to find our rest in something other than God. And we never find it. Augustine of Hippo says this, that our hearts are restless until we find our rest in Him. Oh, that's beautiful. And it's never more so true. Our hearts are restless until we find our rest in Him. Are you resisting His aid in your life? Let's look at this. I have 3 points this morning. I've already given them to you. You may have run ahead of me and written them in. But the first one this morning, we look at verses 1 through 3. Run to God. Run to God. Let's look at this first one. I have 2 sub-points this morning, one about God and one about ourselves in each of these points that I have this morning. So first of all, running to God activates His assistance. It activates us. And this makes sense. If we do not run to God, again, we cannot receive His aid as He desires to give it in our lives. We cannot receive His assistance because, I mean, it's logical. We are looking for assistance in something other than God. So what He is calling us to do is run to Him. Listen to what He says in verse 1. God is, I mean, that's present tense, right? God is our refuge and strength, a helper, and listen to this, who is always found in times of trouble. If God is not in your life in a time of trouble, it's not because He is distant from you, it's because you are distant from Him. Because you are running to something or someone else than Him. That's the reality. It follows, it's logical this morning. But God is this, and He is always found. If He's not in your life, then there's something wrong with me. Amen? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there are no strings attached. He doesn't call for me to do this or that, to be generous here, to be generous there, to do some sort of work here in order to gain His assistance, in order to gain something from Him. He wants to give. He is the giver of all good gifts in our lives. He is that good Father, right? And so many times, I don't know if you're like me, but so many times I run from Him instead of toward Him. Won't you run to Him? Because it absolutely activates His assistance. Listen to what Isaiah chapter 25, verse 4, that first part of that verse. He says, "For you have been a stronghold for the poor person, a stronghold for the needy in his distress." And here it is, "a refuge from storms and a shade from heat." Anything that you are experiencing in your life, God is fully capable of handling. Amen? There is nothing that takes God by surprise. He understands exactly what you are experiencing, and here it is, He knows exactly how He can help. Won't you run to Him? Listen to what Zechariah 9:12 says, "Return to a stronghold, you prisoners who have hope. Today I declare, I will restore double to you." Oh, and we're going to talk about this in just a moment. When God gives His assistance, He doesn't give it sparingly, right? He doesn't just say, "Okay, I'm going to give you a little bit here, and let's see what happens." And then He gives you a little bit more just so that you can progress along. He just gives it all, because He wants you to be where you need to be. Oh my goodness. Do we believe the great I am statement? When Jesus talks about being the good shepherd and how that good shepherd provides for his sheep, and then he talks about how the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but he says, "I have come that you might have life, and not just life, but more abundant life." That's not sparing, right? It's abundance. So when He gives His assistance, we'll talk about that a little bit more. I don't want to give that one away. All right. Let's go to the B part, right? That's what God does when we run to Him. Running to God alleviates our apprehensions. It takes away our fears. Listen to what the psalmist says there in verse 2 and 3. "Therefore, we will not be afraid, though the earth trembles and the mountains topple into the depths of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with its turmoil." Peace in the midst of the storm, right? We talked about that a little bit earlier. We've had storms in our lives, haven't we? But oh, when we sense the presence of God, you can't explain it, right? That peace, it just washes over you. And it alleviates those apprehensions. It demolishes those fears. So that whatever else may come your way, you know it can't touch you because God is with you. Listen to what Psalm 91, verses 1 through 6 says. "The one who lives under the protection of the Most High dwells in the shadow of the Almighty." Oh, I want to stop for that right there for a moment. Think about that, dwelling in the shadow of the Almighty. What does that mean? It means God's in front of you. And if God is in front of you, can anything get to you? And that's where He longs to be. That's where He wants to be. And that's exactly where we should be, is in the shadow of the Almighty. "I will say concerning the Lord, who is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He Himself will rescue you from the bird trap, from the destructive plague. He will cover you with His feathers. You will take refuge under His wings. His faithfulness will be a protective shield. You will not fear the terror of the night, the arrow that flies by day, the plague that stalks in darkness, or the pestilence that ravages at noon." The psalmist said it in so many different ways. How could we doubt the presence of God in our lives if we run to Him? How could we doubt the protection of God in our lives when we run to Him? And how could we ever fear? Because He is the Almighty. And if He is for us, who can be against us? Oh, the Lord Almighty. There's a song that we sing, in Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. When fears are stilled and striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God and helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Oh, what great truth there in that wonderful modern hymn. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand, because he is my refuge and he is my strength, and all my apprehensions have been alleviated. Amen. Whoo, and we're just getting started. Is that that should be enough, right? That should be enough, but the psalmist goes on, because God is so much more than that. In fact, God is so much more than what this psalm can proclaim. And yet, these things are so very precious to us, are they not? Second thing, receive from God. If you run to him, it follows that you need to receive from him. That the first part of that, what from God's end, we've already talked about this a little bit. Receiving from God accesses his abundance. It accesses his abundance. Listen again to what it says in verse 4 here in Psalm chapter 46. There is a river. Its streams delight the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. When you see that word delight, that means that there is an abundance there in the city of God. I mean, you think about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. There is a delight there. There is an idea that I have all that I need, right? And so there is an abundance. It logically follows that if there is a river, it's constantly flowing into the stream or into the city, that means that there is always an abundance when it comes to our Heavenly Father. Because again, he is the giver of all good gifts. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make every grace, not just flow, but look at that word, overflow to you, so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. Did you hear those demonstrative words there? Every, always. That's our God. And when we run to Him, we start receiving from Him, we are overwhelmed by His goodness because He doesn't stop giving. That's why we sing. Right? That's why we praise His name. Because not only does He give us these good things, but He poured out everything when His Son went to the cross. He gave His most precious thing that He could possibly give, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says again in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something this morning. If you are in Christ Jesus, all the riches of God are at your disposal. That doesn't mean that you get a lot of money, right? That doesn't mean don't go out of these doors saying, oh, I'm going to pray to God to give me some money. Now, there are times in our lives where we're struggling, right? And we don't know where the money's going to come from. And I encourage you, go to God. I'm not saying there's going to be an envelope show up, but I will tell you this, we've had that happen before. I'm not telling you that you're going to find, $2,000 lying on the ground and that's going to exactly meet your need. But could God do that? Absolutely, if He wanted to. Ask Him, because He wants to be that provider. He wants to give in abundance to you so that you may receive and so that you might give glory to God. I love that first verse that I looked at, because it said, it doesn't just flow, but it overflows in your life. God wants to bless you so much that you can be a blessing to others. So that they too can know that He is the giver of all good gifts in their lives. That He will supply all their needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So that He will make everything flow in abundance in their lives. How in the world would I want to hoard those blessings so that someone else might not experience the joy and the peace that I currently experience? Receiving from God not only accesses His abundance, but it also amplifies our assurance. It makes it greater. Is that not true? When you have a need in your life and you go to God and He just provides, and it's just in a way that you didn't even expect, and you're just like, oh, God, You are so wonderful. And it just makes you even more confident that if something comes up in your life, I'm going to go to Him first. That's what it does. Even though we're reluctant to run to God in the first place, when we experience those things, it makes us less reluctant in the future. And we run to Him quicker so that we might receive the abundance that we so desperately need. Oh, I sit here and think sometimes, oh God, who is man that You are mindful of him? Isn't that what the psalmist said? Who am I that You take notice of me? And let me tell you something this morning. God has set His affection on you. On me. He has set His affection on me. Because He loved us so much that He sent His Son. He demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is a special affection, and He has for each and every one of us. Oh, I don't deserve this. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:12. That is why it finishes that one verse. But listen to this. But I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to guard or to keep what has been entrusted to me until that day. That persuasion, that assurance that God gives us each and every time, that he is a good God and he is faithful and he will never lie to us. Listen also in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 and 23, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, because this is why, since he who promised is faithful. That's why we sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Amen? That's why we can sing even that song, that hymn, that 2 Timothy 1:12, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Do you remember that hymn? That comes straight from Scripture, and it's truth, because he's faithful, and we can be assured. Listen to what we sing this hymn from time to time. It's 410 in your hymnals there in your pew back in front of you. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. We cannot say it is well with my soul if we do not have assurance. And we do not have assurance unless we receive from God. And we will never receive from God unless we run to him. Don't you want to be able to say it is well with my soul this morning? Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed, here it is, assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sighed. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Sing it with me. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Oh. Maybe we should stop there, but the psalmist doesn't. So let's go on. Lastly, this morning, and I think it follows that if we can say it is well with my soul, then we are resting in God. Amen? Resting in God. It accentuates his authority. It brings our attention to his rule, right? That's what, this past week, the mission team was working in one of the classrooms, and in those classrooms we have an accent wall. You may have an accent wall in your home. And what does that accent wall do but only to draw your attention to that wall, amen? Because you have all this other color, and then there's one wall that is different from others. And then here's the reality. When we rest in God, it brings our attention that He truly is control of things, and that's why we can continue to rest. Because no matter what may come our way, God is on the throne. He has always been on the throne, and He always will be, because He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And nothing will ever change that. Nothing will come in and remove Him from His throne, because He, again, is the maker of all things, the creator of the universe. And if He has created everything, then no created thing can displace Him. Listen what the psalmist says in Psalm 121. I lift my eyes toward the mountains or the hills. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. There's an acknowledgement this morning that when he has his help, when he seeks his help, he acknowledges, his attention is brought to the fact that he is now running to the maker of all things. And listen to this. He will not allow your foot to slip. Your protector will not slumber. Indeed, the protector of Jonathan. I'm going to put my name in there. Put your name in there. Right? It's not just for Israel this morning. We're reading it this morning. Yes, it is for Israel, but it is for you and I as well. He wants to be your protector. And indeed, the protector of Israel does not slumber or sleep. The Lord protects you. The Lord is a shelter right by your side. The sun will not strike you by day or the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all harm. He will protect your life. The Lord will protect your coming and going both now and forever. And let me tell you something. He cannot do that unless He's Lord of all. And He is. So He can. Brings your attention to His authority, His rule. Listen to what King Nebuchadnezzar had to say after he came to his senses. You may remember the story. King Nebuchadnezzar was the one who came and enslaved the Israelites. And God really blessed that kingdom. And God really caused that kingdom to flourish. And Nebuchadnezzar, in his pride, he made it all about himself. And God made him like a wild animal, if you remember the story. And he was on the hills, and he was eating grass like a wild animal. And after some time, he came to his senses, and he looked to heaven, and he acknowledged God's authority in his life. He finally got to that point where his attention was brought back to the one who made him great. Right? And this is what he says, "But at the end of those days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven, and my sanity returned to me. Then I praised the Most High and honored and glorified Him who lives forever." This is what he says, "For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing, and He does what He wants with the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. There is one who can block his, there's no one who can block his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?'" Back in 8 and 9, I forgot to read these verses. "Come," it says, "see the works of the Lord who brings devastation on the earth. He makes war cease throughout the earth. He shatters bows and cuts spears to pieces. He sets wagons ablaze." And He can only do that if He is Lord. So not only does resting in God accentuate His authority, but it awakens our allegiance. Resting in Him means that we are totally dependent upon Him. Amen? And so why wouldn't we? Even as if you were to look back at Psalm 121, you look at all those wonderful things that God wants to do in your life, how could we not help but give Him our allegiance? How could we not help but just want to live for Him every moment of our lives? If He longs to do that, if He wants to be our refuge, if He wants to be our resource, and if He wants to be our repose, then it should follow that we acknowledge that He is our everything. And all of our allegiance goes to Him. I'm going to finish the end of Psalm 91 here, 11 through 16. Now listen to this. I want to read this because these are things that God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, wants to do in your life. And He wants to do these things so that you may rest. He will give His angels orders concerning you to protect you in all your ways. They will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra, and you will trample the young lion and the serpent. Because He has, here it is, I told you this earlier, that He has set His affection on you. Because He has His heart set on me, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls out to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and give him honor. I will satisfy him with a long life and show him my salvation. How could that not awaken our allegiance? How could that not produce within our hearts a greater desire to follow Him and to serve Him? Because, quite honestly, He absolutely deserves it. He absolutely. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you." So even in that, whose kingdom are you seeking? Whose kingdom are you giving your allegiance to? Most of the time, I'll confess, in my own life, it's to my own kingdom. We all, in some way or another, we disregard the kingdom of God and His rules, and we usurp His authority in our lives by seeking our own kingdom. But when we seek His kingdom and His righteousness, we don't have anything to worry about, do we? That's why we can rest. That's why we can rest. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to... You may remember that word that comes next. Rest. There it is. Upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood. Just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease. Just from Jesus simply taking life and rest, and joy and peace. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that He is with me. Will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. How I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Do you trust Him today? I want to end on a story from my own life. When I was younger, probably about, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years old, maybe a little bit younger than that, I have this habit at night of going into Mom and Dad's bedroom. Mom would already be laying down. They had a king-size bed. And I would lay down on my dad's side of the bed. And I'd fall asleep. And at some point, Dad would come to bed. And instead of waking me up, he would put his arms underneath me. And he would take me to my own bed. I would wake up in the morning and I would find myself in my own bed, knowing, for one, that my dad had transferred me from his bed to my bed, but also that he had not dropped me. Right? That's important. Very important. And since he did not drop me, I'd go in there again. I would lay down on his side of the bed and fall asleep. And the same thing would happen. And I did this several times. And then there were times where I would go in and I would fake falling asleep. Just so that I would know what it was like to feel my dad's arms underneath me, carrying me safely to my own bed. You see, I was at rest in him. I want you to know something this morning. You have a heavenly Father, that his arms are more than capable of carrying you safely, because he is our refuge. He is our resource. And he is our repose. Don't resist him. He wants to give you aid. I don't know how you came in this morning, but I really believe God laid this message on my heart, because there are individuals in this room this morning, or even watching online, they need to know that there is a God out there that they can trust. They need to know that no matter what is happening in their life this moment, that God is more than capable of protecting them, that God is more than capable of providing for them, and that God is more than capable of preserving them through whatever they're experiencing, so that they may rest in him. The invitation is simple this morning. Would you just rest in God? And allow him to be all that he wants to be in your life. I want to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Here in just a moment, we're going to sing this wonderful old hymn, "I Need Thee Every Hour." And maybe this morning, you would say, "I need God." Run to him. I plead with you. I beg you, please run to him and receive from him what he longs to give you, so that you may cease your tireless strivings in this life and rest in the only place that you will truly find rest. Some of you this morning, there may be someone in here this morning, you have never experienced the embrace of a loving heavenly Father because you have not committed your life to him. Would you too cease your tireless strivings and running from God and turn to Him this morning? Give your heart to Him because He is faithful. He will forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The Holy Spirit is moving. He's speaking. Would you respond? Don't hesitate. You can stay where you're at. The altar is open. Lay your burdens down to the one who wants to bear them for you. Would you sing the second verse with us this morning?
I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I
Thank you for your attendance here this morning and for your wonderful attention. My prayer is that God will be your refuge, your resource, and your repose today. Speaking of repose and rest, that's one of the reasons why we are not having services this evening, so that you might be able to enjoy time with family as we are in the midst of this holiday season with the 4th of July. So I hope you have a great week of celebration. Some of our men have already made their way to the back of the church to receive this morning's offering. Again, I want to say thank you for your faithfulness in giving. It has obviously allowed us to do many things this year, but we still have half the year left. Amen. And God is going to do some tremendous things through the life and ministry of your second family. So please continue to give. I do want to mention once again that announcement that is not in your bulletin about the special call business meeting next Sunday.